You're on the Music Weekly. My name is Jackson. We're live on Energy Groove and iHeartRadio. I have a very special guest on the show with me right now via Zoom. I have Jack from Psychedelic Porn Crumpets. I think this is the fourth interview we've done with you. How's it been?
It's been good. Thanks, Jackson. Thank you very much for having me back on.
Congratulations on the release of Night Gnomes. I just want to say this album is fantastic. And if gnomes decided to take over civilization, I feel like you predicted it, Jack. With Terminus the Creator going into like a very heavy Black Sabbath-like Lava Lamp Pisco riff, you added such a perfect balance on this album with a lot of the softer songs and the heavier songs. Tell us about the writing process of the album and how the concept of just Night Gnomes in general got conceived.
I think because we had such a sort of fun time writing Shiger and having that sort of adrenaline boost from kind of the previous tours and getting home, and I suppose the old demons of isolation hadn't really sunk in when we were recording that record. And I think this Night Gnomes was sort of a bit more of an in-depth look at what we're actually doing, or the lack of what we were doing, and feeling like maybe our careers had ended and this was almost like the last chance we had some sort of creativity before we were all back working on a building site again. So it was sort of unintentionally dark in parts, especially like you said with like Lava Lamp Pisco and that sort of angst that kind of came out in like some Sabbath kind of way. But I think we wanted to just write something a bit deeper and a bit more meaningful and those transitions from the start of the record to the end of the record and feel like a sort of fuller body of work and try and chase a bit more melody, I suppose. Even though Jagger was still pretty packed with it, it kind of followed the same kind of big, ambitious, like 70s driven rock album, whereas this was much more of a, like you said, a bit more ballady. There's more acoustics and a bit more heartfelt songwriting in it, which I think was something that we hadn't done since the first record. So, yeah.
Like it was very in your face with Shiger, and you sort of brought it back quite a bit with some of the softer songs. And I did really actually appreciate like the little filler songs towards the end of the album. I feel like that sort of was just a nice cherry on top, to be honest.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
How do you compare writing music in isolation compared to jamming with the rest of the band?
It's difficult, I think, because I think there's a lot of it. Like yesterday we just had a sort of jam. We did a rooftop sessions where we just practiced like four of the new songs for, probably 2 or 3 months, where it was literally just writing or going over those songs and learning bits and pieces. So last night was the first time we had a jam where it was doing the whole set. And I think it was funny to be like, actually, some of the songs do work like in the way that the Porn Crumpets world kind of fits, but you never really know, because I think we were on such a different tangent coming from where we were going and what we were going to do and where we were playing live, that when it was just writing and recording in a studio or just a bedroom or wherever we are at the moment, that the idea and themes kind of get a bit lost or you don't know where they're going.
So you did just say you were jamming with the rest of the band. How is coming up with a set list for shows coming along?
Yeah, like that felt really strange after when we were just doing the four songs, like I said before, for the rooftop sessions. But it was nice to know that everything did fit together. Like we were like kind of worried that some of the record wouldn't kind of work, but we were like opening with Terminus and Lava Lamp Pisco. And I think like obviously the boppier songs from whatchamacallit, like the kick-ons and your Bill's Mandolins, sort of going back into Terminus and Lava Lamp when it's a bit heavier. It definitely felt like, I don't know, it was a nice drive forward. Like I was worried that the stuff we were doing had no sort of tie in with the record, but it's just added this extra element to sort of the live sound now, where we're like a lot fuller and a lot more body in some of the songs, which and I always want to, every time we like learn a song off the record, I'm always like, oh my God, our old stuff's way better. And then we're like, we're not going forward. But then we were like playing Tally Ho last night. I was like, oh no, like, cool, that song's like, it's kicking, it's going forward. And like Acid Den has just dropped in so beautifully into the set that it's building into a nice little monster that we're all pretty proud of.
Plus the production for this album has gotten a lot more cleaner since High Visceral Part 1 and 2. Like you know, you stopped using the SingStar microphone. There's also less layering than what you used to really do. So there's a lot more headspace and air in this album, which is very nice to hear.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we definitely tried to space everything out a bit more. And I think some of those bad techniques that I've sort of been learning of just like triple tracking guitars and trying to add like vocal on top of vocal on vocal. It was like, maybe we should like, yeah, try and figure out what is the part rather than just overdubbing and getting everything together. So yeah, thanks for picking that out.
So tell us about the album cover for Night Gnomes, because I know you did a lot of graphic design back in the day. Did you create this album cover or was it outsourced?
No, this was by Ben Giles. So he also did the Whatchamacallit record.
I figured that one.
Yeah, he did all the artwork leading up to that as well. So there's some really cool pieces for the singles. And this artwork was actually, I wanted this for a separate album that we didn't end up, the album was kind of finished, but it was like this dark kind of big, heavy like record. And I was like, I kind of don't know if I want to release it. And then we never sort of pushed forward with it. But I was always there and I had it as my screensaver for ages, just on my phone. And I just kept looking at it. And it was sort of my little muse to sort of get me in the frame of writing. So it was sort of always going to be the album cover, which was nice to have that before and not afterwards to try and fit some artwork to it. It was like, almost like the music was a post thought. Like, so I was like, all right, it's going to be called Night Gnomes. This is it. It was a lot more thought out from the beginning this time around.
So you just said that you had it as like your cover on your phone, like as your screensaver. I swear in an older interview, when you lost your phone somewhere in Germany, you had, I think, an alternative cover for Whatchamacallit as it too.
I just love Ben's artwork. Like, I definitely had the Whatchamacallit one on there as my screensaver. It was a trick that I saw, Ruben Nielsen from Unknown Wall Orchestra. He said that's what he was doing when he was recording the first and second record. Like, he'd put the album artwork onto his phone. So he'd be like, every time he got a message or something, he was like, all right, that's right. Like, that's my sort of frame of thought or what I'm going through. And it's a good little technique. I think it's like, it seems to always keep you focused on that one project rather than you get tired and you listen to, I don't know, System of a Down one day and then you listen to someone like Fleet Foxes the next. And so you're in these two different frames of mind and you're always like, oh, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. So it's like it kind of keeps you anchored in a little way.
So let's move on to some live albums. So you'll be releasing a live album not too long after today, actually on my birthday, but I've seen videos from your live setup for the Levitation album. How did that setup even become to happen? Like, how did that get planned out?
There's a really funny story in that, actually. So there's a place down in just south, or like east of Bunbury, so about 2 hours south of Perth and inland a bit in the forest. I think it's around Dwelling Up Way. There's a gnome forest. So basically one day, I think it was like 20 years ago or something, someone had left gnome and then someone else had just left one. And now it's become this like weird tourist attraction where if you go down there, you need to bring a gnome. And so we were like, when we were thinking of this set to do the Levitation session, we're like, well, we've got to do it at Gnomesville. So we ended up setting up throughout the day and all the locals were like stoked. They were like, man, this is going to be amazing. We had like a big production crew down. So we had the lights and film crew and had the whole thing set up and it looked absolutely amazing. We did two songs in and some local came down, like this big burly bloke and a big handlebar mustache. And he was like, what the fuck are you morons doing? And it was like 8 o'clock and we're like, oh my God. And he told us that if we didn't stop doing the music, he was going to come down in this bobcat and destroy all our gear and the generators. And we were like, oh my God, we're going to have to stop. So like we tried to find where he lived and we just couldn't. And he was terrifying. He was definitely someone you don't want to mess with. So we were like, fuck, we just done all this sort of planning. And we just ended up driving home like 2 hours and got home about 12, just absolutely defeated. And so we managed to go up to my parents, got a little farm in Swan Valley. So we managed to go up there and just quickly bash out the rest of the set, like the day, which was helpful.
And also with that rooftop gig, was the, I remember seeing in the background, there was like people just watching off their balcony. Was that just random people or?
We were having flashbacks of Gnomesville, just being like, oh my God, this might happen again. Like, Gnomesville were in the middle of nowhere, but there we were literally had all these apartment blocks. We're like, we should have probably told them we're doing this, but it was in the middle of the day. So hopefully it was, they were all cool with it.
So you have big tours coming up very soon overseas. You got going to Canada, around to Europe, North America. Have being in isolation, did you have any fun ideas for these tours? Anything to make them a bit bigger? You know, flying inflatable pigs over the crowd?
That would be pretty amazing. I've always wanted to do the holographic thing, but we were talking, I don't know how it would even work, but we were saying, like, imagine if you could have, like, these immersive pools or something around you where it's, like, somehow there's just projections around your head. I don't even know if the technology is available, but I remember talking to a couple of guys who were working in lighting, and we were like, you could sort of somehow cross, like, lasers over together that form other 3D objects. So that's the sort of big picture, if we could somehow get that. But I think, like, yeah, the live show at the moment is, we haven't even thought about it. So yeah, we should probably start thinking about that soon.
You can go Flying Lotus and go 3D.
And I saw that and it was insane. That changed music for me. So yeah.
Such a good, like, live show to witness. Like,
yeah. Insane. Unbelievable. That's, if we could just even film that and just put it on a projector behind us. We'll just do that.
Who have you been listening to recently? What music have you been digging?
A band called Nolan Potter's Nightmare Band has been on that album they've got called Music Is Dead. I've been absolutely smashing. Yeah, like, unbelievable. So I listened to their first record, the Nightmare Forever, and we played a show with them in South by Southwest. I think that was in 2018. And they had this big, like, it's like a 20-piece band on stage. It was unbelievable. And then he's been doing all in his bedroom. And I remember doing an interview at the beginning of lockdown, and someone was like, what are you keen for? I was like, some bedroom producer just to be like, here's the future of music. And I swear Nolan has done that. It's unbelievable. Like, there's 6 songs on the record, and they're all about 8 minutes long. But yeah, the transitions and everything, it leads, it just takes you away. And I was like, fuck, that's sick. So yeah, what he's been doing, I've been really digging.
Have you had anyone come up and given you, like, any ridiculous requests for, like, songs to cover?
Songs to cover? Oh, yeah. And I don't know, not at the moment, but, like, I don't know. No, I don't think we've had too many songs to cover, actually. I've always wanted to do, like, what's that? Kylie Minogue song. I can't get you out of my head. That has the most driving bass and drums, I think, of any pop song. And I was just like, if we could just do that. And just instead of, like, the na na na, you just have that on guitars. Wah, it's like, wah, yeah. Wah, wah. It would be huge, yeah.
Because I sort of was having to think about it. And I was like, to be honest, if I picked a song just out of, like, random that I think you guys would kill in a, like, covering, I think Dogs by Pink Floyd.
Oh, that'd be a huge tune. I suppose it's still quite close, isn't it? But we could, I mean, I'd love to cover it.
So, Jack, thank you for letting us have a chat with you today. Good luck on the shows tonight in Wollongong and then also overseas. One last question. What can fans expect with you live? What are people going to expect overseas when you're touring?
Hopefully a very well-oiled machine. I think, now we've been focusing on getting back and playing live. I feel that we're tighter than ever, and just the music itself has been a large focus to us. Like, we've been recording for so long that I think if we did another studio album now, we'd just want to jump off the cliff. So it's been nice to actually put our attention to performing again. So yeah, alive, I don't know.
Big alive powerhouse. 2022.
Alive 2022. Let's do that.
Oh yeah. Thanks for coming onto the show with us, Jack. It's been a great opportunity to talk to you again.
Thank you very much, Jackson. Always a pleasure having a chat, man.
All right. Right now we're going to go into leading single for Night Gnomes. This is a track called Accident, and you're on the Music Weekly.